You have an MBA from Wharton, and you have been successful in Hollywood. Did you plan to go into the entertainment industry? Did your MBA help you?
Well, Nancy, I had no plans to get into the entertainment industry. I even had some reservations about it. I got involved really through some relationships that I had. Shortly after business school, I was working at AOL out of Dulles. And some close friends of mine who are successful television writers were putting some seed money into Live Planet, which was a new company that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were starting up. And I happened to know Matt from college because he and Keith Quinn and I and a few other guys lived together in the same dorm in college. And so there was a little bit of history there. So these guys were starting up a company. It was a couple of actors, a couple of producers, and they were looking for people who had business experience and also specifically multi-platform experience. And you know, they were very successful in film, had done some television, but the idea of this new company was about doing things for all platforms. So Keith Quinn and I got involved, and we were the first executives to come into the company. And I think the MBA helped a lot for that phase, which was I had pretty formal training and education in financial accounting and business planning and marketing and all the things that you get out of the MBA. I mean, I think I relied on some of the skills going forwards. After that point, it was still very much of just understanding basic business and being an entrepreneur. So one of the things that the MBA and my business experience was really helpful with was Project Greenlight, which was probably the project for which Live Planet was best known because we did three seasons of it. Project Greenlight was the largest screenwriting and directing competition in the world, and basically Matt Damon and Ben Affleck got out there and said, we're going to take an unknown writer and an unknown director, and we're going to let the community help us choose who that's going to be from thousands and thousands of entries. And we're going to make a film. We're going to give them money through Miramax, who was the film partner, and we're going to give them money to make their film, and we followed the whole process in a television series that ran for two seasons on HBO and then a third season on Bravo. So I came into this, no experience in the entertainment industry, knew nothing about film or television production, but I did know a lot about marketing, market research, financial analysis. I had a lot of experience in the internet, and Project Greenlight was very much an internet-based property because the competition was all run through the internet. Experience with negotiating deals with technology partners, advertisers. You know, it was very much advertiser-funded. And so all those things allowed me to jump into this project and take on more and more responsibility with each subsequent season, even though I knew nothing about film or television. And the beauty of it was very educational. You got to see a film getting made, and I also got to get very involved in making a television series. So it was sort of an education for me on those two sides of the business. And then I was able to go on and produce a couple of movies after that and produce a couple of television shows after that as well. But the MBA helped me kind of jump in on all of the non-production, non-creative stuff and add value. And that kind of got me welcomed into the tent of the other things, and then ended up getting more involved with those as well. Here's how the MBA helps you in the entertainment business. There are certain jobs, primarily in the large companies, where an MBA is a requirement. It's like business affairs, or sometimes marketing, or corporate strategy. And if that's what you want to do, the MBA is really the way to go. I mean, you won't get those jobs without the MBA, not at a senior level. I mean, you might get a junior level job. Being a producer, you may learn things in business school that help you, but nobody cares that you have an MBA. I mean, you're not going to get a better job. It's not going to be easier for you to raise financing. If anything, people might say, well, you're an MBA. Why are you going into producing? Those are sort of the ends of the spectrum. In between, there are myriad jobs like, you know, distribution and marketing and PR and all these different functions, which may or may not really utilize the MBA and the skills that you learn there. So the MBA can be very helpful for certain jobs, just having those three letters on your resume. There are other jobs for which the skills that you learn are important, and then there are other jobs where it really doesn't matter at all. I mean, and I know a lot of people from business school, from Wharton and other business schools, who've finished the MBA and maybe took a job and then moved to Hollywood, and some of them trying to be screenwriters. I know a guy that took an assistant job on a producer's desk, literally like getting coffee and writing coverage on scripts because he wanted to be on the creative side. And I always say to these people, you know, you wasted 2 years and a lot of money because you're taking a job at a fraction of the salary that you could get out in the market, and you know, people are sort of looking down at you because A, you're a little bit older, and B, you don't seem focused. And so that happens too. A lot of people go to business school to figure out what they want to do, and sometimes people come out of business school and say, you know what, I really want to be a screenwriter, or I really want to be a producer, or I really want to work in television development. And that's fine. So they use that process to figure out what they wanted to do, and then they go out and do it. But I mean, I know people who, you know, don't even mention that they have an MBA when they go in for certain jobs. Again, I think it's defining the sector that you're most interested in, and certain sectors, very MBA friendly. The MBA is very, very useful. Others, you know, not so.
I recently had a student, an undergraduate student, come to me for advice. I teach screenwriting at Pepperdine.
Oh, cool.
And her minor is creative writing, her major is business. After my class, she was more interested in the writing and what did I think. And I told her, you know, you have to decide what you really want to do. And if you really want to write, I mean, what you should do in this next year while you're finishing is write every day and decide, do you really want to spend your life doing this? Mm-hmm. And that a business degree would serve you well in that it teaches you skills you're not going to have otherwise and ways to protect yourself and to sort of be in business for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice, and I probably am never that precise with people, but that's the best advice I could give for people who want to do something on the creative side. I mean, I know people who say, I want to become a writer, and I say the same thing. So write. Like, you're not working right now, you should be writing, because the best way to prove yourself as a writer is to have material that you can show to people. And it might be really tough, and people might not read it, but I know people who want to be writers, and they just don't write. They just want a job writing, or they have one screenplay that they're trying to get made. I mean, you're never going to get your first screenplay made. Matt and Ben, they wrote Good Will Hunting, and that's a story that's launched 10,000 wannabe screenwriter careers. But the people who are really successful are the ones who write all the time and they produce a lot of product. And there are a lot of screenwriters who actually make their money writing for television, doing rewrites of movies. So you might not see their name on movie posters, but they do really, really well and they're working all the time. They're professional writers. Some people look at the creative side of the entertainment business as art as opposed to a profession, and that's fine, but just like any industry, like art, for example, or music, I'd say the extremes are someone who's just purely painting and showing their work in a gallery and trying to make a statement, a cultural statement, and I have the utmost respect for that, and then there are people who are, you know, literally drawing or designing things for advertising for soda, you know, and you could say, well, that's the basest form of art. Well, but they're probably making money and they're on the business side of it. And I think that's perfectly respectable as well. So the same holds for all of entertainment. If you want to make a career in it, and I think people who are coming out of an MBA program are looking for a career, then you really need to figure out, okay, how can I make money in this field? If you have a burning passion to be a screenwriter and to make movies, that's different. You may be able to make a career out of it. You may not. If it's your passion, then pursue your passion. But I played in a rock band in college, and I loved doing it, and it was my passion. And I could have kept doing it, but I think I realized that I wasn't good enough to make a career out of it. And so I made that decision that I was going to choose career over my passion, but I wouldn't make the same decision for everybody else. Everyone has to make his or her own decision.
Mm-hmm. In Hollywood, most people in the studios and agencies start at the bottom and work their way through many facets of the office before getting to the top. Is that true for professionals such as MBAs and lawyers?
On the creative side, it's always true, no matter where you come from. You kind of need to start at the bottom and, you know, work as it's sort of an apprentice structure, kind of like the old trade system, where if you want to be a writer, a creative executive, or even to some extent a producer, you sit under somebody who actually does that for a living and makes, ideally, is successful. but you do everything for them. You answer their phones. You sit on their phone calls, which is also supposed to be educational. You might do personal errands for them, which is completely not glamorous. You might do business-related errands for them, like sit in a meeting and take notes. And I think it's all intended to kind of learn what the life of a producer is like. And most successful producers in Hollywood, I think, have gone through that system. I mean, it's sort of like the mailroom culture at the agencies. You know, it's unusual for someone to just sort of come in at a high level as an agent. And part of it is just, it's sort of like hazing, you know, you kind of need to prove that you can make it in the mailroom to make it up to the next level. And at each level, you're learning something. I know a lot of people have gone through that process, some successfully and some not. The successful ones have made it, and so they see all the benefits of that kind of dog-eat-dog type of environment. And then for a lot of other people, the hazing ritual doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to them. I think for lawyers, I think you can come in and get a job. Coming out of law school, I think for MBAs in certain facets of the business strategy, corporate development, acquisitions, marketing, on some level operations, definitely finance. I think coming up through the ranks is much, much less important, and kind of your resume and your experience, even outside the industry, I think is equally valuable. I do think in legal, I would break legal into two buckets, business affairs and legal affairs. So legal affairs, I would include, you know, negotiating contracts like a lease or an employment agreement or something like that, whereas business affairs, I would put more of the deal negotiations, like what are the terms for licensing this television show to a network. And I think the business affairs requires a little bit more of that living in the trenches and learning how those deals work. There are a lot of business affairs people who aren't lawyers. There are lawyers who become producers and heads of networks. So having a law degree, I think, can be very valuable because you understand contracts.